More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life,
you're not the boss of me!
Tired of all those pushy, bossy people in your life? We're going to help you set respectful limits. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone, and a happy Friday to you. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're not the boss of me.
Oh, mercy. I was going to say, you know, happy Friday. Or if
who
you
are
live
you to tell
near
me what kind of Friday
us,
to
happy
have.
For snow. But no, you jumped right into this.
I did jump right into mm-hmm. it. Well, happy Friday to you. Not that I want to tell you what to do or anything, but I hope
try
you are
to have a happy Friday. Up to you, of course.
It's totally your choice. But we are talking about those pushy, bossy people who just kind of get under our skin and are difficult to deal with. How do you set respectful limits, insulate yourself from that obnoxious behavior, and maybe, for bonus points, even heal the relationship? Is it possible? Is such a thing even in the cards? Well, let's find out today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Do you have to deal with pushy, bossy people in your life? If you don't, what's your secret? Because I have to deal with those people.
Everybody does. I think everybody does. And that's whether that is actually in the workplace where you're trying to, you know, cooperate with people and be a team, but you've got that one or two people who are like, you know, it's got to be done this way, and they're cranky and they're pushy and they're obnoxious. Maybe it's somebody in your family life. Your spouse, maybe, is a little too bossy for your liking. Maybe you have that one kid who's really bossy, not only to their siblings, but even maybe to you a little bit. But this, of course, is a very important topic for kicking off the holiday season. And don't wince at that, folks, because tonight is light-up night in Pittsburgh, near where we live. And that means, yep, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all those parties, all those gatherings right around the corner. And some of those bossy people come out of the woodwork at this time of year. You have to cook it this way. You have to have this on the table. We all have to be there at this time. You have to do this. You have to stay at my house, even though I hate you the other 364 days of the year.
You have to think like this.
Exactly. You know, we have to have those political and religious discussions at the Thanksgiving table, whatever it is. We're here to help you deal with those people with grace and with peace and with dignity. And, yeah, even a little bit of God's divine mercy in all of this.
What's that you say? Well, today on More to Life, you're not the boss of me. We're helping you deal with those pushy, bossy people that drive you crazy, whether it's in general or at this time of year in particular. Do you have to deal with pushy, bossy people? Do you know how to deal with them well? Would you like to know how to set the kind of boundaries that would insulate you from their obnoxious behavior and maybe even heal the relationship? We can help you do that and more today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. You know, Lisa, you mentioned kids being sometimes bossy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remembered our oldest son, who's now a great adult, but when he was a toddler, we were going to get him a shirt that said, "What I really want to do is direct."
Yes. Oh, my. We had a work against type with this young man. He's great now, as you said.
His favorite phrase as a child was, "I have a better way to do it.
I have a better idea." And he would say this to his siblings. He would say this to his friends. They would be like, "Let's play this," when he was like 3, 4, 5 years old. And he'd say, "I have a better idea."
And the thing was, it often was a better idea, but that's not okay.
You know, you have to be humble enough to do anybody else's idea as well. This can be very much part and parcel of somebody's personality. This can come because of their life circumstances, and they feel like they really have to stand up for themselves all the time, and they do it in a way that irritates you. It can just be that, you know, two of you in a marriage have very different ideas, and each person thinks the other one is sort of bossy and pushy and hard to deal with.
Well, and maybe somebody's telling you that you're being pushy or bossy, and it's just shocking you. I mean, I've had times where people, you know, I'm not exactly a shrinking violet. I don't mind telling people what I think. I don't know if you've all noticed that. And I can be kind of assertive sometimes. I don't ever mean to be pushy or bossy, but every once in a while, I'm sure I come off inappropriately. And when people call me on it, I'm always shocked because it's never even occurred to me. You know, I'm just trying to be helpful or offer some suggestions or talk out my ideas. And obviously it didn't come off the way I intended it. So, you know, look, this whole idea of being pushy or bossy, I mean, I think it points to the fact that we don't always know how we're coming across to people. And so that gives us a way to deal with it effectively. We'll talk about how to do that, whether the people in your life are the pushy, bossy people, or you're getting accused of being that way yourself. We want to help you through it. 877-573-7825.
This, of course, comes about a lot in in-law relationships, where you really see that one person or the other in in-law relationships sort of gets labeled this way, or you think of this person this way, and you kind of, your shoulders go up around your ears when you think of having to spend time with them. Another way this happens, and Rachel Watkins will be here to talk with us toward the end of this hour, is when you're Catholic and you're living kind of counterculturally, you get a whole lot of bossy people telling you how to live differently, whether that's because you've had a ton of kids and they think that's crazy, or you're homeschooling and they think it's nuts, or you go to church every week and they think you're out of your mind for that, or you don't let your kids watch certain movies or do certain things, and they give you their opinion on that. How do you deal with it? She's going to be talking to us at the end of this half hour, to be clear on that, in our second segment today, about how she's dealt with that as a mom of 11 kids, because she's dealt with it a lot. So if it's particular to your Catholic faith, if it's just part of your everyday life, or you're going to be dealing with those people over the holidays that are coming up, we're here to help you today to deal with those bossy, irritating people in your life.
You know, looking at this whole idea of being, you know, dealing with pushy, bossy people from the perspective of the theology of the body, we're reminded that each individual is unique and unrepeatable. And that always sounds great on paper, but then we realize that everybody's different than we are, and somehow we got to learn how to deal lovingly with those differences instead of being put off by them or even feeling threatened by them. And it's easy to see pushy, bossy people as threatening and to just react defensively with them. But the theology of the body really reminds us that no matter how somebody is behaving toward us, the only appropriate response is love. And that includes loving difficult people. Now, that doesn't always mean the same thing, right? Sometimes being loving does mean bearing the wrongs that other people commit patiently, willingly forgiving those offenses. Other times, loving somebody means setting boundaries so that that person has a harder time falling into the temptation of being pushy or demeaning or sinful in some way. You know, knowing the best way to be loving, especially to pushy people, requires us to be open in the moment to how God is moving in that moment. And what we prayerfully believe working for the good of that other person requires of us. Not always easy to know. Certainly not always easy to figure that out in the moment. or even in the big picture, we're here to help you do the math. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Do you have to deal with pushy, bossy people in some area of your life, whether they are adult pushy, bossy people, or little kid pushy, bossy people, or family member pushy, bossy people, or working pushy, bossy people? You got the idea. If they're getting under your skin, we're here to help. We want to help you set the boundaries that can insulate you from their obnoxious behavior and maybe even heal the relationship. 877-573-7825. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for all the people that share our life, even those pushy, bossy, obnoxious people, because you love all of us, and you ask us to learn how to love each other well. Sometimes, Lord, it's hard to know how to be loving in those situations when we're dealing with those pushy, antagonistic, bossy, hostile people. Help us to know when we need to bear those wrongs patiently, when we need to forgive willingly, and when we need to set boundaries so that those relationships can be healed and we can work for the good of that person. Help us to have the wisdom to know how to respond rather than just react out of a defensive, hostile place ourselves. Help us to always glorify you in our responses, work for the good of others in our responses, and work for the healing of our relationships in our responses to those difficult situations, so that we can use everything, every situation you put us in, every person that you put in our path, we can use all of those things to grow and become everything you've created us to be and build the civilization of love, starting with the people who are closest to us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, you're not the boss of me. If you're tired of the pushy, bossy people in your life, whether those are adults or kids or whatever context you encounter them in, we want to help you set effective, respectful, graceful limits. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Aaron, listening in Toledo, Ohio.
Hey there, Aaron. Welcome to Mortal Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, are you there?
We are. What can we do for you today?
I was calling. I have recently been what I consider to be bullied by my father-in-law and my father. We had a family gathering here in our home, and they decided it was time to pick on me about my weight.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it was very hurtful. And I told my husband I didn't think I wanted to go.
And this was both your father and your father-in-law?
Both my father and my father-in-law.
Was this some kind of coordinated effort or something, or did they just come up?
Was this like, I have to use the word, like, was this set up as an intervention? Like, Aaron, we just really want to talk to you about your health, and we think, was it like that? Or did they just go off and start picking on you and start pigpiling on you together, one and then the other, and then it built up? What was this like?
Yeah, this was not a coordinated attack. It was... I'm going to jump on the other one's bandwagon and go ahead and push her buttons.
I'm so sorry.
That's horrible.
They had no right to treat you that way. That's awful.
So where do things stand
now? I didn't feel they did, and we asked them to leave, and they did. But now we have the holidays coming. My sister-in-law wants to have us over, and I told my husband I didn't really want to go because I knew my father-in-law would be there, and... But my daughter started crying because
how old's your daughter?
Really wants to go.
How old's your daughter? She's nine. Okay.
Nine, yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. And you got a littler one there too, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Twins.
Oh my goodness.
My. So not only would you have to deal with being with your father-in-law who's been so cruel to you, but you're then you're dealing with handling small children in this situation that's making you uncomfortable. This would not be a great holiday for you.
So, Aaron, let me ask you a question. Where do things stand now? I mean, has there been any follow-up conversation with this at all? Has your mother and your mother-in-law gotten involved in this? I mean, where does it all stand?
Silence. They've been silent.
Have you asked for an apology?
My stepmother and my mother-in-law both feel bad, I know.
And but have you talked to them directly about this and about what to do about it? Or you're all maintaining radio silence right now?
I haven't talked to them.
Okay, that's your next step. Because you know, you're saying they have, but it's, you know, although when we're hurt, we want the other person to make it right, the fact is it's our hurt. It's our pain, so it's our responsibility to figure out what to do about it. And so as much as we want the other person to kind of come in and acknowledge their responsibility and work on it, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to get better unless we make the effort to reach out and say, look, this is what I still need from you. Because they're hoping that it all just goes away. And the longer, the more time transpires, the more you're buying into that idea that, oh, it's just going to be fine. We're all going to pretend that it's okay. Unless you keep the ball in the air, nobody's going to deal with it, okay? So it's on you at this point, Aaron, to kind of reach out to your father and father-in-law and say, I still need that apology because you guys really hurt my feelings. And if that doesn't work, then, you know, what Jesus says in Matthew 18 is you go find somebody else who can kind of be a mediator. So you reach out to your mom and your mother-in-law. And you say, hey, guys, you know, I'm really still struggling with this.
And I'd love to keep this family together for the holidays, but I cannot be in a place with people who, you know, attack my dignity as a human person. I will just not put up with that. Because you need to, you know, they really did. They really came against your dignity, and you need to be able to say in a way that upholds your dignity, I will not be part of this. I need an honest and sincere apology and a plan for this to never happen again.
And look, and you won't want to do this, but it's okay for you to say, I think you need to say to them as well, if there's something you want to say to me, if you have concerns about my health or my well-being or my whatever, there's a way to say that. You pull me aside and you talk to me respectfully and you address your concerns and we'll talk it out. But pigpiling on me at a family gathering and making fun of me is not the way to go, and I need an apology for that. So it's not just you're saying to them they're not allowed to say anything to you. It's you're addressing the appropriate way to say something and the inappropriate way to say something. So you're holding the door open and saying, look, if you want to be a normal human being and talk to me like a grown-up, you can walk through the front door like everybody else. But if you want to act like that and just burst through the back wall, that's not okay. All right. So you communicate to the both of them directly that you still need that apology. If that doesn't work, then you talk to your mom and your mother-in-law about intervening in some way, because this is not just going to go away. And just staying away from family stuff is just kind of passive aggressive. You need to be able to be direct and adult and appropriate about this. What I would encourage you to do is write out what you want to say so that you don't get choked up when you do it. Just to keep it short, keep it simple. Do it exactly as I said. Look, guys, if you have a problem with me or you have a concern about me, here is the way that you can address this with me. You did not do that. Therefore, you owe me an apology, and I'm not comfortable being around you unless I get it. So where do things stand? And then you just leave it in their doorstep.
And one of the things I would like you to keep in mind while you're writing this down, Aaron, is you have children. You have a 9-year-old daughter who, yes, wants to see her family for the holidays. But there is going to be a time in your children's lives, probably many, many times, where they have to deal with bullies somewhere, someplace in their life. This is a beautiful time to be able to say, through your witness, hey guys, when somebody bullies you, this is how you handle it with dignity. This is how you draw appropriate boundaries with people while treating them with dignity and upholding your own dignity, and this is how you don't let them get away with treating you badly, because everybody gets bullied by somebody at some time, and this is a time to rise to the occasion with real grace, even though you just want to go hide in a hole somewhere after being treated so shabbily.
I'm sorry you had to go through this, Aaron, but there is a good, healthy way forward, and I hope that you'll be able to use these suggestions to set those appropriate boundaries and heal this relationship, because I'd love for you to be able to get together with your family for the holidays as well. If there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. Listeners, are you dealing with pushy, bossy, obnoxious people who just, you can't believe the stuff they're saying to you or the way they're saying it, and you just don't know how to deal with it? We're here to help. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we're going to be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11, about, well, the opinions that people express to her and how she manages those effectively. Stick around for More to Life coming up after the break.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insight on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
More to Life is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
New from EWTN Publishing and just in time for Christmas, it's The Spiritual Wisdom of Mother Angelica. This seven-book box set includes Mother's Quick Guide to the Sacraments, Mother on Christ and Our Lady, her guide to practical holiness, and of course, Praying with Mother Angelica, and more. The Spiritual Wisdom of Mother Angelica, available now at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about dealing with the pushy, bossy people in your life in our show titled, You're Not the Boss of Me. Well, we are talking now with Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, mom of 11. And Rachel, you, I'm sure, have never been in a situation where anyone has shared an opinion about you or how you live your life, right?
Never. I mean, there's just no way that you can't be in the line of criticism when you, as you've told me, get out of the van, even at church, and people are counting 1, 2, 3, and they stop at 13 of you getting out of that van. What do you do as a mom who's made some really counter-cultural choices?
Well, I think that Matt and I had an illuminating moment at one point when that did actually happen to us. Oh, look at the clown car.
Oh, my.
That Matt and I went, okay, this is a moment to instruct the ignorant. And we took it on kind
which
of
which is a spiritual work of mercy, by the way. That's
exactly.
One of the seven spiritual works. That's right, yeah.
Exactly. But what we do when we go out, Matt and I, is we are a team and we're together. So oftentimes those attacks come to me, though, when I'm alone. And so I bring Matthew there spiritually and literally. Well, Matt and I have decided, you know, together with Matt, so that people know that this isn't just a whim on mine, but Matt and I have, and I'll use the words, we've talked about it, we've prayed about it, we decided together. So that's the first thing I do.
Do we have you back?
Hello?
Think we lost her.
I think we got her. Rachel, are you still there? Yeah, okay, go for it.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you guys.
Okay,
we lost you when you said, you say Matt and I, because you bring him along with you even if he's not there. So go on from there for us, please.
Well, exactly. When people say something about our family size, decision to homeschool, whatever, I will lead off with, well, Matt and I talked about it. We prayed about it. The second thing I'll do is point out the obvious that they're missing. See how good the kids are. My kids are happy. We're thriving. Matt and I are still married and in love. People will forget that. They will objectify what Matt and I are doing and think it must be the worst, how loud the house must be. And I'll point out the obvious to them. The last thing I do, though, is in my back pocket, I have the script ready to say to them, I'm sorry, that's really rude of you. Or That's a very private inquiry you're making. I'm not comfortable answering that. Remembering that Jesus did that himself to the Pharisees. You know, I'm not going to call anybody a whitewashed tomb, but I will call people out when they need to be. If they are asking things that they have no business knowing and they're insulting me, I will be rude. I won't be rude back to them, but I will be firm.
Yeah. No, and Jesus certainly did model that firmness and setting boundaries with people. He was the most loving person that ever existed. And sometimes loving somebody means setting those boundaries that prevent them from being a jerk. Rachel, I want to thank you for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. You've got some great wisdom. And if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, they can go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn more about Little Flowers. And we hope you, Rachel, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend and a blessed Thanksgiving, since we won't be talking with you next week. God bless.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone there. God bless.
Thank you.
And we are talking with you today about dealing with those pushy, obnoxious people in your life. Do you have somebody who is just indiscriminate about what they're saying and how they're saying it? We want to help you deal with those folks in a more graceful way. As we head out to our break, it's time for our first More to Life hack for managing pushy people. Just recognize the wound. You know, people who we think of as pushy tend to have a chip on their shoulders. They're quick to lash out even when we don't feel we've done anything to deserve it. So why do they act like that? Well, research tends to show that pushy people often get that way because of what's called an attachment wound. You know, our ability to feel safe and connected to other people can be damaged when the people we counted on growing up weren't there to consistently meet our emotional needs. And so people with those kind of attachment wounds often misinterpret other people's feelings of sadness or anxiety or frustration as aggression. So you might be trying to tell them, for example, that you're feeling blue or worried about something or feeling upset about a problem, but they're hearing, "You failed me," or "You're messing up," or "I can't count on you," and they lash out, even when you're just trying to get support. Understanding that doesn't excuse their behavior, but it becomes the key to working through it. We're going to talk more about that. When More to Life continues after the break, stick around for more More to Life and your calls right after this.
When we refer to our Father who art in heaven, are we talking to a God who is far removed from us? On the contrary, says the Catholic Catechism, we are talking to a Father who is close to humble and contrite hearts. We assert that God is in the hearts of the just, as he is in his holy temple. He is in heaven, his dwelling place. The Father's house is our homeland. Sin has exiled us, but conversion of heart enables us to return to the Father, to heaven. Christians are in the flesh, but they do not live according to the flesh. They spend their lives on earth, but are citizens of heaven. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds, but to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. And I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home.
But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their siblings soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we've found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. Today on More to Life, you're not the boss of me. We're talking about those pushy, bossy people who are driving you crazy. How do you insulate yourself from their obnoxious behavior? And is it even possible to heal the relationship? We think so. We want to help you do that and more at 877-573-7825. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak. And I know you're saying it won't happen again. Aunt Thelma won't act that way at this Thanksgiving. Uncle Bob's not going to be that obnoxious this Christmas.
And then Aunt Thelma gets together with Cousin Louise and all things go south from there.
Oh my goodness. Be prepared this year or this Sunday when you go to church or Monday when you walk into the office and you have to deal with that person whose personality and their traits are just tough to deal with. We're going to help you out today. 877-573-7825.
And with that, let's talk to Tim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Tim, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Well, this is a marital matter. Been married a very long time, and my wife is a retired principal, school principal, and I'm a retired city manager. Sometimes those two backgrounds can come into conflict when it comes to control issues. And
I was going to say, you both have been doing a lot of leadership for a long time,
yeah,
and then you have to get two leaders
right
together. So what goes on when we get these two leaders together that are driving you a little crazy?
Well, you know, my wife, by the way, was an excellent principal for her 33-plus years with the school district here locally in Grand Rapids. But when we're driving the car, you know, I enjoy driving, being the principal driver, but I've agreed to more or less make it 50-50 at my wife's request, whether it's a short trip or a long one. And invariably, she'll want to go excessively fast, I mean, maybe 10 or 12 miles over the speed limit on the expressway or some such thing. And I have a struggle with that, going that fast. And it doesn't matter whether we're running late or on time or in advance of time. She seems to always want to kind of be in a hurry, get through this and get to wherever we're going. And then critiquing my driving skills to the point where I should have took a turn here or there to save a few seconds. There might be, just the other day, a double lane left-hand turn onto the expressway, and I took the inside lane, and she gave this comment, "Oh my God, you know, like, why didn't I take the right-hand outside lane? I could have gotten onto the expressway in front of one or two cars." Things of that sort. And it just bothers me to no end. And I try to be calm and say, "Sweetheart, you know, it's my turn driving. We'll get there in time. It'll be okay." Be reassuring. But I don't always act so calm and collected and can sometimes just dish it right back, you know, in a way that I regret later, and that's harmful to the relationship.
Sure.
And then related to this is just generally punctuality issues, attending appointments together, meetings with friends. She'll want to be precisely on time, despite the fact that it may be a 15 to 30-minute window for people arriving. And so in that regard, I've been able to figure out that if I just plan to be ready to go 5 minutes ahead of when she wants to go, I can sidestep a problem. And that's generally what I do fairly successfully. It's really mostly in the car. And
sure,
this, believe it or not, is something that's among the most challenging.
No, well, I,
we, oh, we
can
believe
relate.
It.
Yeah, because we get along
we
really great. And
until
and
we get in a car. Yeah. And if anybody's ever been to one of our talks, they've heard, they know we're telling the truth right now. We're not doing this for Tim's benefit. We will always talk when we are speaking around the country that this is a real point of contention over our 30-year marriage, that this comes about. We have the very much like the two of you, except in reverse. Greg is a go-getter in all areas of his life and continues to be behind the wheel. And I am the very cautious one, and once and I am continues that behind the wheel. And we've worked on it for years.
And,
but
and we both have to kind of get to the place where we remind each other in our own heads that somehow the other person manages to make it to where they're going when we're not with them alive every time. I don't know how she does it, frankly, but it works. And she doesn't know how I do it,
but
it works. And so that's number one, recognizing that the other person's a grown-up and their way does work, even if it's not your way.
Even if it terrifies
the second, the second thing, though, I think is important to keep in mind here is exactly what you did with the whole on-time thing. It's about talking about it ahead of time.
Yes, that really is.
You know, it's about prior planning prevents poor performance, right? When you get in the car, just acknowledge the elephant in the car. You know, say, look, honey, I know that there are going to be times when you don't like how fast I'm driving, you know, how slowly I'm driving, or that you wish I'd taken this exit instead of that exit. I need you to
keep it to yourself.
Yeah, really.
As best you can.
Because, you know, I will get us there, and I just need to get that out front. And she can say that to you, too, you know. And then what you do, you're sitting whoever's sitting in the passenger seat takes out their phone and looks at it.
Well, that sounds crazy, but it is the way
don't
we
look at the road.
Get through it. So we have allowed each other to Greg will look at his, and usually he has, like, a Kindle book, and he'll read. So he's not looking at the road. And I will do the same. I'm, like, scanning through Pinterest, and I'm not looking at what he's doing. And that doesn't mean we never mess up. I mean, there are just going to be things that frighten us. If he gets too close to a car, I get frightened. Hysterically enough, if Greg falls asleep in the car, I could be going, like, on cruise control at a steady, like, 60 miles an hour in that lane, and something will waken him, and he will startle, wake up, and throw his arms across everybody in the car to protect them from
she
death.
She has a way of braking that makes me crazy.
I'm not even braking.
Yeah,
it happens.
Well.
But we laugh about it. It's gotten to the point where most, 90% of the time, we can laugh about it. But it is definitely a difference in style where we're really called to try to love one another more than we love our own comfort zones, even when we think our comfort zones might have something to do with our physical well-being. So, the other thing you can do, and you really can, we've done this actually with our son, especially about the time difference. If you're going somewhere and you've got two different cars, meet each other there. I love you too much to put us in this situation and be in a bad mood at grandma's house. I'll meet you there. It sounds crazy to waste the gas and take two different cars, but sometimes it's just better.
If you have to. I mean, that's not the ideal solution.
No, it's not ideal, but you can do it.
But the normative way to respond to this, if you want to be able to be in the same car with each other, is kind of prompting that healthy behavior up front, not waiting for the offense to occur to address it, because by then everybody's emotional temperature is too high.
Yeah, you're screaming at each other, and you're mad at each other, and
handle it up front.
Really,
it's like, look, I know there are going to be points here where you're going to want to say this or criticize that. I'm asking you to please keep it to yourself, look at your phone, trust that somehow I managed to survive when I'm driving by myself and you're not here. Please keep that in mind, and I promise you I will get us there in one piece. Tim, God bless you. I'm glad to hear that everything else is working just fine in the relationship. Every couple's got one thing, right?
And sometimes it's that one, especially when you have two people who are very competent in what they do and trust their own competencies well.
God bless you, Tim. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking about dealing with those pushy, obnoxious, bossy people in your life. You're Not the Boss of Me is the title of the show. Give us a call. We'll talk about how you can set those boundaries that insulate you from other people's obnoxious behavior. And you know what? Maybe even do more than that. Maybe heal the relationship and come to a new level of understanding and greater peace. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Melissa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hey, Melissa. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hello. So Unlike your previous caller, I'm on the other end of this. I am the one that is perceived as being the bossy one and that I have bad intentions when giving advice or trying to help. And I just want to know the best way for me to kind of step back and look at the situation and try to be perceived a little differently and with my good intentions.
Can you give us a specific example of a particular situation where you might want to give some advice or offer some input that's not being received well?
Sure. In fact, just semi-recently, both my parents are not together. They haven't been for many years, but they're both at my daughter's soccer game. And my mom was asking a lot of private questions to my dad, and I kept interfering, hey, Mom, stop. And at the end, I told her, hey, you know, you need to kind of watch your private questions because it's making him uncomfortable. And yeah. She totally snapped at me saying, I'm 56 years old, and I can do what I want, and you're not my mother. And
so oh, my.
Especially her takes it very wrong for me, and it ends up blowing up to where we don't talk for a while and things like that just because she reacts that way.
Well, I will say in that particular instance, although your intentions are good, you're replaying some childhood trauma there where you're sticking yourself in between your parents and trying to make nice, and that's not your job. It wasn't then and it isn't now. So it's your father's job to set limits with your mother and tell her that I don't want to talk about that with you, not yours. Because if your mom's response is inappropriate, and you are correct that if she's asking those sorts of questions that you ought to be able to say, hey, Mom, but you're actually being a mediator here. Your dad should be the one who's standing up and saying, you know, honey, whatever her name is. I know they're divorced now, but, I'm just not comfortable talking about that with you. And he needs to set that boundary, not you. So your best bet in that situation is to keep your mouth shut, really. And let them work it out between the two of them, and you be there for your kid's game.
Yeah. And I have to say that's sort of a good blanket rule for a lot of us who, especially because we're Christian and we're taught to stand up for underdogs, often insert ourselves where we shouldn't be. We need to be able to stand up for ourselves. We need to be able to stand up for our children. Other adults we're in relationship with, if they're having a conflict with someone else, we need to let them be the one to handle it as a general rule. Certainly if you see someone who's the underdog in a really difficult situation and needs you to intervene, then you pray about what charity asks you to do. But in a general, everyday, everybody's adults and functioning fairly well kind of situation, you can pray for people quietly, but let them handle it themselves. You stand up for yourself, you stand up for your children, and the rest as adults, we really need to be able to handle.
So what do you do? As I said, in that situation, you remind yourself that this is not your job to be the mediator of your parents, that you've been doing that job for far too long, and maybe that little girl inside of you that's always been trying to make peace between mommy and daddy needs a hug from you. And the best thing that you can do to give her that hug is to check out of that conversation and pay attention to what else is going around. Specifically, in that example you gave, your daughter at the game. Focus on that. If you have to move away from them both and say, you know, guys, you need to work this out between the two of you, but I can't be around you when you're doing this. And then go sit someplace else. You know, that's okay too, right? But don't give your mom advice about this, because that just brings up all kinds of baggage for all of you, you know, where...
And puts you right back in that parentified child situation. You're an adult now. You can make the decision to walk away from the role that they shoved you into, that you shouldn't have been put in that place in the first place. And now you can stand up for yourself and say, not doing this anymore. Two of you grow up and handle it yourselves.
Melissa, I'm sorry that you're in that position, and I know that it's not going to be easy to follow through with this advice, but this is really the best way to go in that situation. If you have more questions about other situations where you're not sure kind of how to step in, take a look at our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. We really talk about, you know, how can you convey what you need to convey, or know whether you should say anything or not in the first place, in those difficult situations, and if you do need to say something, how to say it in a way that'll go over well. God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. God bless you, Melissa. Thanks for the call. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about those pushy, bossy, obnoxious people in your life. Do you know how to deal with them well? regardless of who they are, whether there's a coworker or a boss or your spouse or your kid or anybody else in between, we want to help you set respectful limits. And, hey, you know what? For bonus points, maybe even heal that relationship. 877-573-7825. Stick around for more. More to Life coming up after the break.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
It's time to take control of your healthcare journey and experience healthcare fully alive with CMF Curo. Krista and Justin say,
we love having the understanding, decision-making, and control of our healthcare in our own hands and having the option to bear one another's burdens. But most importantly, we love helping others when they need medical support.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry that values the health of the whole person, spirit, mind, and body.
To experience healthcare fully alive for you and your family, visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
More to Life is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
How do I handle difficult family members? When do I correct others? When do I hold my tongue? Too often, we're late in realizing that we mishandle a situation, causing both resentment and frustration. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. And in my new book, Thinking Like Jesus, I tackle these questions and more. Check it out and more of my books at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you about those pushy, bossy people in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mike, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Good morning. We've got a parishioner at our small Catholic church, and he wants to be a boss. He's a retired veteran, never been married. We had a confrontation this morning, or he did, with my wife about the rosary. They say the rosary every morning or before Mass, and it has to be started exactly at his time. It has to be done exactly his way. He appoints people to say each mystery.
He's the rosary Nazi. Oh dear.
He's really taking his military life right into the church. Yeah. And the rosary. Yeah. Here. Okay.
Yes, he is, and he's still a boss wannabe. But anyway, he confronted my wife this morning about saying the Pope's intentions and that she wasn't doing it correctly. That he didn't want that to be done on his rosary. And she said, well, I want I'd like to have the intention. And he just continued and continued. And finally, she started crying and wanted to leave. And I told her, I said, you cannot do that. You've got to go and stay for the Mass, but you don't let somebody run you off because of your good intentions. It's almost an evil effect, in my opinion.
It is.
But I don't know how to deal with this man that wants to try to run run people and tell people what to do and how.
Well, there are two things to do. There are two things you can do. The first thing you need to know, all right, and I can tell you based on your description of this person that he very well may have what might be called an obsessive compulsive personality disorder. And again, you know, this is secondhand information. I've known you for 2 minutes, so this is going on a limb. But either way, he doesn't think like most people think, okay? And he's got tendencies in this direction. An obsessive compulsive personality disorder, that's somebody who has very strict rules about everything. And there's one way to do it. It's their way. And if you don't do it their way, you're wrong, and you're going to hear about it.
Now, the good thing about knowing about that is your wife can know it's not her that he's actually coming against. It's just his need to have everything his way.
Somebody with that type of a personality will talk to the lamppost that way. They'll talk to the dog that way. They talk to themselves that way. It doesn't matter who they're talking to. As far as they're concerned, they have a certain format. If you deviate from that format, you're in trouble with them. It's got nothing to do with you. It doesn't have any. It doesn't mean anything at all about what you did, whether you did it right or wrong. They'll make you feel like you did. But the point of me saying that to you is that we often make the mistake of thinking if somebody is offended, then we must have done something offensive. Okay, with that type of personality and the situation you're describing, how can you be offended by the way somebody prays the rosary? That's just crazy, right? It's objectively that's crazy.
We should
behavior.
Technically be thrilled. It's like, okay, we're praying the rosary, we're meditating on the scriptures, we're inviting our Lord and our Lady into our life. We should all rejoice in this, and then that joy is stolen by somebody being with, you know, in this place,
so
this
you,
attitude.
So the point is you don't deal with crazy, okay? You smile, you nod, you say, wow, you're really passionate about this. I hear what you're saying. And then you move on, all right? Don't discuss it. Don't debate it. Don't try to convince him. Don't try to justify yourself. Don't try to defend it. It will all make it worse. Everything you say can and will be used against you, and you will lose. All right. So in the moment, the only thing you can do is smile at the guy, say, well, you're really passionate about this. I hear what you're saying. And then get out of there as fast as you can. Okay. That said, it's really the pastor who's responsible for behavior that goes on in your parish.
And it's
important maybe to talk to him about this and say, look, this is what's going on. I'm not telling you what to do about it, but I am telling you it's a problem, and it's driving people away. And he's using the rosary as a club, and that is not giving glory to our Lord or shining particularly kindly a light on the Blessed Mother here or our parish. Maybe you want to look at that. So those are the two things you need to do. You need to realize, you know, that this guy is dealing with some serious personality issues. You don't want to engage in any conversation or debate or discussion with him. Smile at him. Acknowledge the passion that he has, move on. Go talk to the pastor, who's the one who's responsible for this. I'm sorry, Mike, you had to deal with that.
I have to say, Mike, you're dead on that this is, you know, Satan creeping in there trying to break up your church and trying to get your wife to not, you know, even stay for Mass. Do yourself a favor. Get a copy of a book called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. There's a chapter in there that really shines some light on exactly that and how to deal with it and how to think of it in a different spiritual perspective. I think it might be something that your wife would benefit from going through perhaps over the Advent season, and it would really bless her heart to be able to read that.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for the call. I'm really sorry that you had to deal with that.
That was just terrible.
You know, the reality is there are difficult people, bossy, obnoxious people, even in church. Responding to them in a loving way is part of our growth process, and hopefully these ideas will give you a way forward with that. 877-573-7825. Give us a call. We'll talk about those pushy, bossy, obnoxious people in your life.
Let's talk now with a listener who's listening in Virginia.
Hi there, listener in Virginia on line 4. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi, Dr. Proctor Ken. My thing is, I'm worried about my wife and I live apart because of employment right now. We've done it for quite a while. We pray together every night, both Catholics, practicing Catholics. But I'm worried when we get back together, like, for example, we were together with my family, and, you know, some of my family members will say, she constantly puts you down. And it does lead to conflict. I think I did get some indication that from, you know, just based on what I've told the doctor that I go to for my meds, a psychiatrist, he said, sounds like she might have OCD. She gets about certain things. I love her. I do love her and everything. I'm worried about things working out. Like in a few months, we're going to be moving back together. So we're going to be in close confines again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just, how do I prepare for that. He recommended, the doctor said, you might want to try to go get some counseling before you start living together again. And I said to him, I go, you know, I'll try it, but she won't agree to it because the problem is me.
Here's the thing. I mean, whether she'll go with you or not, I think that the advice is sound. And the reality is there's a lot that we can do to improve a relationship, even if we're the only ones working on it. It's not ideal, but it's still there's a lot you could do, because by setting appropriate boundaries and looking for ways to build the appropriate rapport, you can start to find ways to reward the good behavior and basically make it difficult to act in disrespectful or demeaning ways. Getting those tools in your box is going to be a really helpful thing to having a successful reunification. So I'd really encourage you, whether your wife will join you or not, to go ahead and look for a good marriage-friendly therapist to work with who can give you some good tips for getting back together and living under the same roof peaceably. Thanks for the call. And folks, if there's more that we can do to support you in dealing with the difficult situations and people in your life, look us up at CatholicCounselors.com and check all the resources we have for you there, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor over the phone. More at CatholicCounselors.com.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.